Hi, everyone, and welcome to Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel dedicated to communicating science and research to the community. My name is Nicole, and today we have our very special guest, Shiz Aoki. Shiz is the founder and CEO of BioRender, also known as the Adobe for Science, a software empowering scientists to communicate their research through visuals. Prior to starting BioRender, she studied at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine in medical illustration. Thanks for joining us today, Shiz.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we're so happy to have you on our channel. And having worked at the National Geographic as a scientific illustrator and founding your own company, Anatomize Studios, can you share with us what inspired you to start BioRender?
Sure. I guess it was almost by accident in a way. Diving in to start a startup and bring along co-founders and have them rest their careers, that wasn't an accident. But I'd say, you know, I did a lot of vetting before diving into exploring what is now BioRender. But I'd say in around 2017-ish, I was already several years into building out, as you said, Anatomize Studios, and it was a busy, bustling sort of agency slash firm. We serviced or continue to service scientists and doctors, publishers, biopharma, and we were creating sort of high-end, like very high-touch, highly customized medical illustrations and animations. And again, they were for researchers, educational sectors. And the budgets were, you know, pretty high in the 5-6, maybe even 7-figure realm sometimes. And fortunately, when you get to that point, when you get busy and you get to be a little bit more, I guess, selective in the types of clients you bring on. And, you know, when you market yourself as sort of a higher end product, you end up having to turn away a lot of clients. So that is exactly what happened. And it wasn't just budget. You know, a lot of scientists that came in obviously had maybe in the, you know, $500 to $1,000 range budget. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But also they were extremely tight for time. So it was usually a very last minute, you know, I need this turned around by tomorrow. And of course that is also very difficult for a studio that has to sort of organize resources and other deadlines and such. So that was one thing. Another thing was, you know, scientists would come to us if they had the budget, great. But along the way, we noticed there were always little edits or tweaks along the way. And that's the nature of science, right? Is that things are constantly getting updated. New findings are informing the way we visualize, you know, figures in the research. So it ended up being that we'd have to pull out a lot of files, make small edits here and there. So that ended up taking a lot of bandwidth. So, you know, all in all, it got to the point where we were turning away literally hundreds of scientists and clients. And then I was speaking to a colleague of mine who actually is now my co-founder, Ryan. And I asked him, you know, how can we keep up with this demand? You know, we're running Anatomize, we're getting all these clients that we can't service. There are only actually 30 people a year that graduate from accredited schools in medical illustration. And even from that, you know, the sub number of people that would probably qualify to work within the realm that Anatomize was servicing was even smaller. So clearly the supply demand was quite skewed there. And so I told him, you know, I'm having trouble sort of staffing and keeping up with the demand. And he said, you know, the concept of SaaS was exploding, you know, software as a service. And Ryan himself had just exited his e-commerce business and, you know, knowing the difficulties of running sort of a two-sided marketplace kind of gave me the advice that if I was to explore anything sort of like another business model, anything technical, it should be a SaaS model in mind. So in about 2017, I made this sort of fake prototype. It was literally me in Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop, screen recording, me moving things around. And then I brought it to conferences, I brought it to interviews and things like this, you know, I was talking to other scientists. And it was interesting that of the hundreds I interviewed and spoke to, I said, if this existed, you know, this sort of drag and drop self-serve sort of DIY tool, would you use it? And it was interesting that unanimously, I got a very emotional reaction, positive emotional reaction from everybody saying, yes, this has been an issue. You know, I use PowerPoint to visualize all my research. And that was horrifying to me because I thought medical illustrators exist in the world. I knew there were very few of us, but at least I thought they knew of us and that they would hire a medical illustrator. But a lot of the cases, like I said, pricing is an issue, timing is an issue, where budgets come from is an issue. Maybe it's more skewed towards software instead of contractors. And so that kind of gave me initial validation to say, if we took the leap, built out this tool, again, it wasn't called BioRender. We just kind of thought, you know, let's explore this tool, this DIY tool on the side of Anatomize while that studio is running. Could it be a thing? Could it take off? Would it make an impact? So we did some number crunching and we thought, okay, as a business model, does it make sense? And it did. I paired up with our third co-founder, Katya, who's still our CTO today. She built out our first sort of prototype of BioRender. And I think when we got into the accelerator program called Y Combinator out in the Bay Area, that sort of gave us a bit of impetus or initial fuel to the fire that maybe we weren't just this, you know, cute science figure-making tool. Maybe there's actually a strong business behind the idea and a strong potential to be even a category-defining business that could make an impact, you know, for scientists around the world. So that was kind of the, I guess, the initial how it was spawned out of our studio.
Well, that's really interesting to hear. And in the Beats Laboratory, we definitely use BioRender on a daily basis to curate like protocols and figures to visually communicate our research. Cool. I know that BioRender is still like a startup at the beginning of its very successful journey already. So what would be some of the goals that you have in mind for your company, let's say in the next 10 years or so?
Ooh, 10 years. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to figure out what I have to do tomorrow. But yeah, we do think about that. I think interesting that our mission and vision hasn't really wavered too far from what we started. I thought it would. They say just write it on paper, you know, just put something down that kind of speaks to your heart and maybe speaks to future people that will join the company so that we're aligned on that. So our mission is to empower the world to learn and communicate science faster, mostly through visuals, of course, right now. And the vision of BioRender is that, you know, we can become sort of the go-to place, trusted place where science is communicated. So with that, it might mean that in 10 years, we're actually involved in more of the, I guess, research journey or the scientific journey. So as you know, it's very cyclical. You know, scientists go through a process of ideation, research, discovery, communication of that discovery, you know, here's what I discovered in beautiful pictures and words, maybe teaching then if it becomes a little bit more canonical or well-established, and then learning. So that whole thing is cyclical where they're learning and then they're rediscovering. And we want to sort of be part of that entire process. I think we're comfortable right now in the realm of research and communication, you know, publishing posters, presentations, and all of that. But, you know, maybe we would build out a whiteboard to help facilitate discovery, use more data-focused visualization, perhaps even providing sort of a platform for scientists to connect with other scientists through the visual content they make. So lots of opportunities there to kind of explore the whole sort of scientific journey.
Definitely. And I would say like the visual communication part is super duper important, just as important as the research aspect. So for any aspiring like medical illustrators, what would be one, like the most important piece of advice that you would give to them?
Ooh, medical illustrators. Let's see. Well, we're hiring, so definitely reach out to me. But in all honesty, interesting that this is going to be very counter to what I think what I did, but don't be afraid to specialize, I think was good advice that I got. Maybe I didn't follow it because I kind of wanted to be a jack of all trades or Jill of all trades. But, you know, inherently as artists, we're sort of taught early on to be very diverse, to learn everything, to be good at a lot of things. And that appeals to a lot of people because it's hard to commit to one medium or style or focus or medium or subject rather. And it's actually sort of the fallacy of being a great medical illustrator, I think, or designer in general. There's certainly the benefit of, you know, joining a startup like BioRender because you get to wear different hats and ultimately could do a little of everything. But ultimately, you know, most employers, most customers, most clients want specialists. So, you know, just like you want a neurosurgeon or a cardiologist to focus on one area of your body and why GPs will send you to a specialist. It's because ultimately something's got to give, you know, if you stretch yourself too thin across multiple specialties, and there's no harm in specializing just for a little bit. You know, look at artists, musical artists who come out with, you know, drastically different sounding songs from album to album. You know, they'll sort of spend a few years perfecting or honing their craft in one style or genre because ultimately people want some level of predictability in what they're purchasing or getting themselves into and be able to measure that. It's also a really good way to decide whether you really like a thing, a style or a medium, and really get good at something and commit to it. And, you know, maybe after a few years of trying to perfect something or really getting to know the media, you realize maybe it doesn't really pull on your heartstrings. Like working in 3D software, that was something that I dabbled in during my thesis. And I realized, it's not really for me. I see the appeal and I see how I could get drawn into the technicalities of it. But it was something that I explored for a couple of years. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to leave this to the experts who really nerd out on camera angles and lighting and textures. But I had to focus on it for, you know, at least a couple of years to realize I didn't really want to do that for, you know, my whole career. I might even revisit later on in another time, but I think had I not gone deeper and explored it, I wouldn't have known otherwise. And maybe I would have sort of faked my way through being, you know, sort of 3D, sort of 2D, sort of vector-based artist. So I think all in all, specializing is not a bad thing and really helps with, I think, job search and even client search.
I think you bring up like a really valuable point, focusing more on like the quality of your work instead of spreading yourself out too thin in terms of like the quantity of like the media you dabble in. Yeah, I think that's definitely pearls of wisdom for aspiring medical illustrators. Yeah, so thank you very much for sharing this enlightening discussion with us.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. And thank you all for the Beats listeners for your time. And don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram channels at Beats Research, and check out BioRender linked in our description. Beats Research Radio is supported by the University of Ottawa Heart Institute, Beats Research Lab, and the Department of Biochemistry, Immunology, and Microbiology with the Faculty of Medicine. We hope to see you all next week. Thank you.